Welcome to the Ocean Hills Podcast. Our hope is that today's message would help you connect more deeply with God and with others. If you would like more information on what is happening in the Ocean Hills community, check out our website at oceanhills.org or download the Ocean Hills app. If you are encouraged by our ministry and would like to partner with us financially, you can give through your mobile device by texting Ocean Hills to 77977. We hope you enjoy this message.
As Cozy's coming up, it occurred to me that maybe some of you don't know what ordination is. Like, what do you mean ordination? What the heck is this? Well, in the ministry of the church, ordination is when the church, not just the local church, but the broader church, we're part of a larger church family called the Evangelical Covenant Church. And the ordination process is a big one. And at the end of it, you get commissioned and you get the laying on of hands and you are called to a lifetime of serving the people of God. And the process is a rigorous one. Jono's been through it. I've been through it. Cozy now has been through it. You get a master's degree. Cozy went the extra mile and got a master's of divinity degree, which when you're going full-time is a three-year master's program. I think it took you because you were, six.
6 years.
And then you have to write a paper and responding to questions that have to do with theology, that have to do with some of the issues that are controversial, and you have to defend and support your position biblically. And then you show up at a local conference board called the Conference on Ministerial Standing, the comms team. I've had the privilege of serving on that team. And you get grilled there, and you got to defend your paper there. And when you pass the conference, then you get sent to the national board, and you get asked a lot of questions, and you have to defend your paper there as well. And Cozy has been through, persevered, and written a beautiful paper and defended it. And our denomination has accepted her into the ordination. And it also may occur to some of you, like, wow, I didn't know women can be ordained. Some of you come from a church background where it's like, and the Evangelical Covenant Church, we believe in leadership for women. There's no limits to leadership in the local church for women. And so we love that. And we're also not, you know, some denominations or some churches, they just locally ordain, but we're under a bigger umbrella. And so it's not just, I thought it was a good idea, and so I decided that we should do this. This is a bigger deal than that. And so we stand under the authority of a larger church body with all the resources and support and guidance. And so we're here. Cozy was ordained 2 weeks ago in Orlando, Florida, with the denomination at the annual meeting, but we thought today would be a great day to as a local body, because the larger church, by the way, it looks to us. You don't just get ordained by yourself. You don't show up and here's my paper. I don't go to church, but I wrote a paper and I want to be ordained. I mean, you can do that online to be a wedding officiant or something, but to be ordained in the covenant church, you have to go through this process. Now, you can't do it unless the local church family affirms your gifts and calling for ministry. And so we as a leadership and as a staff said to the denomination, Cozy is definitely called and gifted, and we gave that blessing. You also can't do it unless you have an amazing husband like Brian Jenks. And Brian, for all these years, has been supporting and praying and encouraging and sending her out to do her thing and holding down the fort. And my wife did the same thing for me. So God bless you, brother. Let's hear it for Brian Jank. We also have Val and Rick and the whole family in the house, parents, the whole Del Carlo family. God bless you guys. This is also a reflection of your investment as parents and your commitment and support and sacrifices. It's powerful. And I love that you guys have a front row seat right here. So God bless you. All right. We're going to turn it over. We got three speakers, and then I'll wrap it up if there's time. Go for it, John.
If there's time. Hopefully there will be, but I'll talk fast. Cozy, dear sister, we've been through so much. This is one of my favorite moments from the past year. We were having ice cream in a snowstorm, if you remember that. That's a good picture, because ice cream in a snowstorm, when you're in a snowstorm, sometimes you just need to eat ice cream. You know, and we do. That's what we've done for so many years, 15 years. And Cozy, this is such a milestone for you. It's a milestone for us. Today we celebrate our first ordained woman pastor at Ocean Hills. What an incredible holy moment, and what an honor it is to have a front row seat to your journey. As I've watched the perseverance, the endurance, the passion it's taken to get here, I know it hasn't been easy. 10 years in the making anymore. Through every twist and turn, you kept showing up. You kept listening to God's call. And now we get to stand in awe and say, look what God has done. Look at this. So let me just take a couple minutes to reflect on Cozy's journey, because it is a beautiful picture of how God uses community, people, obedience, surrender over time. It all started back in 2007. You transferred to Westmont, found your way to our church. Somehow we were giving away a powered wheelchair to Chris Benedict, if anyone remembers that. And Cozy said, I remember her saying, I love how this family treats one another. That was such a moment. And that moment turned into so much more. You joined a small group with Ryan and Lila. You began a mentoring relationship with Lila in 2008. You started volunteering in our junior high ministry in 2008. 2009, you graduated Westmont. You went home for 2 weeks, just two, and realized, I got to go back to Ocean Hills. I got to go back to that God family. God's not done with me yet. And in 2010, Pastor Lori called you up and asked you about a part-time admin job, which turned into full-time job. And then in 2012, John and I were dreaming about children's ministry and hiring someone for children's ministry. And Cozy pops her head in John's office and says, I think I know who should take that job. Can I put my name in for this? And you did. And that just launched you into a new season of leading and shepherding and building teams and caring for kids, and your leadership and pastoral gifts began to shine in so many ways. And then in 2000, there was Brian Jenks. Maybe not the ideal ministry partner, but eventually your partner for life, and God knew what he was doing, didn't he? In 2015, then you decide to start this long journey, faithful journey of becoming a pastor in the covenant, licensing, interview, school, like all that John said. Somewhere in the middle, you were able to have a couple kids. Wow. And you've done it all with heart, humility, and grit. And so here we are. You've answered God's call. You've followed him step by step. And today we get to bless you and affirm your call as a pastor. As you step into this new season, I want to just leave you with one word that Jesus spoke to his disciples and to every pastor, every leader. So I'm preaching to Cozy, I'm preaching to myself, I'm preaching to you too. And that word is just this, it's remain, remain. Jesus said in John 15, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I'm sure you studied this in seminary, that Greek word for remain, it's meno. It doesn't mean just to visit occasionally or casually. It means to dwell, to stay, to make your home in Jesus. That's what it means to remain. Cozy, this is the secret to ministry. It's not striving. It's not solving problems. It's not spinning plates. We both know how to do that really well. It is about remaining in Christ. Remaining is how you will pastor with peace It's how you will lead with wisdom. It's how you will pour out love and grace and truth on all the people that God leads you to. That's what it's about. And it's what this church needs most from you, more than anything else. Even with all your amazing gifts, we need you to stay close to Jesus. There's going to be seasons ahead where the needs are endless, the problems are complex and big, and the outcomes are uncertain, but your call is not to fix everything. It's to stay connected to the vine. That is where the fruit comes from, the vine. You're not responsible for producing fruit or producing outcomes. You are responsible for remaining, for listening, for dwelling in the presence of the one who's called you. And I love this pastor, Eugene Peterson. We've talked about a lot here at our church. He wrote the Message version of the translation of the Bible. And he said this about being a pastor: my job is not to solve people's problems or make them happy, but to help them see the grace operating in their lives. And Cozy, you do this so beautifully. Your fingerprints are all over this church. Your gifts, your voice, your laughter, your depth, your tears, they have shaped our body. You've listened to God. You've given us the phrase God family. That's exactly what this church is. To you and to us. And so God has prepared this work for you. You are ready. You are. And today and every day, the call is to remain in him, to stay close, to soak in the love of Jesus. We are so grateful for all the years you have poured out your life onto this body of Christ. Thank you. Thank you. We affirm your calling. We bless you as a pastor. And we pray that grace, not pressure or busyness, would define your ministry. Bless you, Cozy. We love you.
Amen.
I'm Priscilla, and I suspected that perhaps John was looking for someone to speak today who might have experience at North Park Seminary and be part of our body. Well, guess what appeared in the archives? Yeah, there we go. I was in at North Park Academy, and this is me as a 13-year-old. I started my academic career there, and this makes Cozy and me both alums of North Park. So we have a lot in common. We've recently been learning about the life and character of Simon Peter. Some of my words of encouragement for you today, Cozy, are based on words Peter wrote as he was nearing the end of his life, as recorded in 2 Peter chapter 1. May grace and perfect peace cascade over you as you live in the rich knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. Especially recently, through the ordination process, you've been reminded of your calling and gifting, and you have needed to rely on God's divine power both to minister and to finish your rigorous studies. We've been on the front row watching you develop and grow over many years. I have personally been enriched by knowing you, enjoying coffee, hearing about challenges of seminary classes like Greek, and the joys of taking classes that opened your eyes to deep truths. You dealt with real life challenges of working full-time, being first a wife, than a wife and mother. In our friendship, we have breathed the air of the kingdom of God together and have experienced the Lord's pleasure with us. Many of us have experienced your engaging and passionate preaching. You brought new life to the description of our wardrobe in Colossians chapter 3, putting on clothing, helping make the familiar, and helping us see it in a brand new way. It's been such a pleasure seeing you pastor the kids and families of Ocean Hills as the kids feel loved and known, and as both kids and their families learn practical ways of being followers of Jesus. You have thoughtfully shepherded families through child dedications, led kindergartners and their parents through a special time of blessing, honored the kids entering second grade with their own Bibles, to say nothing of all the music and stories that are part of every week. You have developed a team committed to OKids ministry. You have done so much, and you also know that it takes all of us, it takes a village. And now ordination, a time for affirming and recognizing your gifting and recognizing in a formal way your theological rigor and your pastor's heart. It's a time for you to embrace your call, to continue following Jesus, and for you to step up with courage to the challenges ahead. I could not help but think of another awesome woman, Queen Esther, and her need for courage when she was challenged by Mordecai. And who knows but that you have come to your position for such a time as this. The good news is that encouragement and the power you need for this season of ministry has already been given to you by the power of God's Spirit. I'm going to close with Peter's words in 2 Peter chapter 1 from the Passion Translation. It just seemed to fit you. I don't know. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by the divine power. He has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, we can experience partnership with the divine nature. Be eager to confirm and validate that God has invited you to salvation and claimed you as his own. As a result, the kingdom's gates will open wide to you as God choreographs your triumphant entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Messiah. Cozy, live today in confidence as you dance in the eternal kingdom, both now and in the days to come. And you don't do it alone. We're doing it with you.
Good morning, everyone. My heart dances today. I love that you use that word because that's how I feel today. I'm not even nervous. I'm just so excited to affirm and encourage my dear friend. Good morning. My name is Lila DiGiulio, and I met Cozy 20 years ago when she was a Westmont student, and I am grateful to a good God who knew then that we should be friends and that our lives should be knit together in faith and love and mission. So today I want to affirm who you are. I want to remind you of your rootedness in Jesus. I want to be a mirror of who he has designed you to be. And I also want to encourage you and challenge you. Cozy, you are a warrior for Jesus. You're a warrior. It is a privilege to affirm your ordination today. I pray you feel deeply encouraged, like to your bones, in your cells today, and filled up with his love in such a profound way so that you might courageously continue the good and holy work that he has for you. Jesus, may my words be anointed by your Holy Spirit. Use them as a mirror of Cozy's true identity in you. More of you, less of me, Jesus. Amen. Here's a picture of us from 2019. Cozy and I doing what we love to do. I love this picture because we're doing what we love to do and living in our like full adult selves with interests outside of our families and children's and also with the guys that we love. And I love that you gave a shout out to Jenks because Jenks, you are the best partner for my dear friend. Thank you. It can be really hard to be married to an extraordinary, talented woman with a very public calling to ministry and God-sized dreams for her community. RD, am I right? We can be a lot to be married to, but I can testify that God, that's right. I can testify, God calls up exceptional men like you, Brian Jenks, like Ryan DiGiulio, and I look in this audience and there are exceptional men that are supporting their partners, their wives, their girlfriends, their daughters to fly in the name of Jesus and to do the good kingdom work that God has ordained for them to do. So thank you. Thank you, Jenks. We love you. And we love how you love our Cozy. You are her best partner. Back to you. You're the main deal. My beloved Cozy, you are creative, you are insightful, you are thoughtful, your heart is big and gushy and tender, and it fills any room that you're in with the out-of-bounds goodness and love of God. You are a builder of kingdom things. You see what can be before it is. You build with glue sticks and crepe paper and glitter, and you build with people. Calling up and calling in co-conspirators for your God-sized dreams with your passionate vision for kingdom living. You build robust teams of love warriors there outside the theater today who follow Jesus into the battle for human identity. That's what children's ministry is. That's what youth ministry is. It is a battle for identity in Jesus. You are uniquely wired to love children well and to show them the boundless love of their creator. Oh Kids is God's dream for kingdom living at Ocean Hills, and it was put into action in and through you. You have poured your guts into that vision, and generations of children, including my own, have grown under the gracious branches of his love through Oh Kids. Forgive us when we sideline your vision or sideline your kingdom thinking as just kids ministry. Oh Kids is nothing less than a profound movement of the Holy Spirit. It is not a daycare. It is not a discounted child admission to church. It is a Christ-centered ecosystem where children are immersed in God's love with all of their senses and surrounded by the undeniable goodness of God's family and reminded continually of their full membership in God's story. Amen. Thank you for bravely and relentlessly pursuing God's best for our children and families. As you step into the next chapter of your ministry, remember God's faithfulness in this era of Oh Kids. To God be the glory. Can I have a tissue? No. Jono was so smart, he got this. By the way, how did Cozy and I show up with giant puffy sleeves this morning? Have you noticed this? Is this cool? I think, I don't know, 20-somethings, are we cool? I don't know. But we are going to laugh. We don't care. We totally don't care. But that is funny, because Cozy's kind of thing is fashion, right? And so I wore my most cozy outfit. I was like, what's the loudest dress I have? I don't have sparkly shoes, but I didn't know. The puffy sleeves, man, we are going to laugh in 20 years. Because we're going to still be friends. In the second part, I want to call you and us to courage. Courage because you know Jesus is in it. Courage to live and love and lead like you've got nothing to lose. Cozy, you are high capacity. God has used you in a million ways, and he will continue to use you, and I have no doubt that your good work for the kingdom has only just begun. As you step into this next chapter of your ministry, my encouragement to you is to allow your heart to be disturbed. What I mean is to keep allowing your heart to be soft, vulnerable to the cries of those in need, even to the point of breaking, and that's a hard place to live. But we can only do that with Jesus. The responsibilities of marriage, motherhood, duty to work, duty to community, all good things can keep our hearts distracted. And in our privileged place in the world, we can stay insulated from the brokenness and pain of our world. My encouragement to you and to me and to us is to stay brave and not shy from proximity to pain and the suffering of our neighbors. Going into the painful margins because we know that's where Jesus already is. I really believe this in these ouchy, raw places that our kingdom gifts are truly illuminated and God-sized dreams are born. The faith that gave you courage to go to the other side of the world to serve the vulnerable children of Malawi and to pour out your heart at Royal Family Kids Camp, that courage is a burning flame in you. That was not just the strength of your youth. It lives in you now, and God will use it to illuminate your next steps as you fix your eyes on him and on the hope we have in him. He wants you as part of his unstoppable mission of reconciliation. You are a warrior for him. Here's maybe what you're saying, because I say it to myself too, but I'm a mom. I'm a mom. What about these amazing kids God has blessed me with? They're my most important ministry, right? Yes, and take them with you. Take them with you. That's right. Take them with you. Take us with you. Show us. As Jesus moves your heart and inspires your mind, take us with you. Take your family with you. You and I stand on the shoulders of centuries of strong and faithful women. Let's go together. Let's go there to those hard places. On July 2nd, I was reading the Lectio, and I had a gut-shaky Holy Spirit moment, and my life mission is to encourage people to listen to their physical bodies as they encounter scripture or encounter relationships. Like, are we brave enough? Are we faithful enough? Are we hopeful enough to think that that could possibly be the Holy Spirit in us? And so I had that Holy Spirit shaky moment, and I try to listen to that. It was in a poem. Gosh, I keep getting poems, like, from the Lord. It's weird. I copied it in my journal, and I circled and wrote, this is for Cozy's ordination. So this is my word gift to you. That's what old people give each other. Welcome to the middle age. We give words. So we're going to put that on the screen. I hope we have it. So let's be brave together, Cozy. Let's go in courage that knowing Jesus is with us. Let's stay open to disturbance. Let's stay vulnerable and with soft hearts and go together. Jesus is with us in the painful places, and it might just be where our next dream is born, your next dream is born. So this one is for us, you and me, dear one. Disturb me, Lord, when I am too well pleased with myself, when my dreams have come true because I have dreamed too little, when I arrive safely because I sailed too close to the shore. Disturb me, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery. Where losing sight of land, I shall find the stars. Amen. That's good. I love you, Cozy.
So appreciative of the different voices in the life of this church. It's fun to hear how people have been in your life. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. So I have a word. There's an obscure little verse where last week we started a new series in the Gospel of John and looked at water into wine, John chapter 2. In John chapter 3, the very next chapter, I think I have the verse on the screen, verse 22. It says, then Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem and they went into the Judean countryside. And then it says this, Jesus spent some time with them there, baptizing people. Jesus spent some time with them there. And since you studied Greek in your seminary, diatribo is the Greek word that means to spend time with. It literally means to rub off on, to rub off on. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was rubbing off on people, rubbing off on his team, his 12 disciples, rubbing off on the people in the community. And when I think about ministry, it's class is always in session. It's not just about the curriculum, but you are rubbing off on. As a leader, you reproduce who you are. All of us as leaders, we reproduce. Our impact is in who we are, even more than what we do, who we are. And that can be with your neighbors, that can be with your husband, your children, that can be with your volunteer leaders, the staff people, teammates you work with. You get to rub off on us. And then as you, if you follow down, if you have a Bible in John chapter 3, that was verse 22, and then there's a little thing about John the Baptist. And then just seven verses later in verse 30 of John chapter 3, John the Baptist, his disciples were going, hey, people are going to Jesus to be baptized. Wait, I thought you were baptized. And this is what John the Baptist said, and this is the word for you too. John the Baptist said, he must increase, and I must decrease. He must become greater and greater. I must become less and less. And I think as you enter into this ordination season of ministry, I think what you've heard from these friends, colleagues, leaders in your life, it's staying connected to Jesus. It's being courageous and it's being humble. That's the spirit of Jesus. Was courageous and he was humble and he was empathetic and he was authentic. He was the real deal. He wasn't pretending. There was no hypocrisy in him. It was, this is who I am. And I think that rubbing off is going to have the biggest impact as you decrease and he increases as you remain, abide, all of 1 Peter chapter 1, the godliness that's been deposited in you that we've just heard about. It's so, so powerful. And it's so simple, so let's not complicate it. Ministry is who we are. And so as you diatribo on the rest of us, as you spend, I mean, that's, you're going to be spending time, you already are. In fact, I'll just call an audible because I like to do that. I just, right now, if you were a kid in her ministry or had parents of kids in her ministry or have been a volunteer in her ministry, would you just stand up right now? If you were, have you been in O-Kids? If you were a parent, a kid, look at all these people that have been on your team, been impacted. These are the people you're rubbing off on. Now, you guys all sit down. Thank you. And the rest of you, you're missing out. Volunteer for O-Kids ministry. Okay, we have a gift that we want to give you, and we have an art teacher at Roosevelt School who's part of our church. Her name is Heather Walker, and we commissioned Heather to make a piece of art for Cozy, and it's actually the prayer of the great reformer Martin Luther, his ordination prayer. And she turned it into a piece of art. We have the words on the screen. I'm going to read these words. But these are, this was Martin Luther's prayer when he got ordained, and we're giving this to you. He prayed this, O Lord God, thou hast made me a pastor and a teacher in the church. Thou seest how unfit I am to administer rightly this great and responsible office. And had I been without thy aid and counsel, I would surely have ruined it all long ago. And therefore, do I invoke thee. How gladly do I desire to yield and consecrate my heart and my mouth to this ministry. I desire to teach the congregation. I too desire ever to learn and keep thy word, my constant companion and to meditate thereupon earnestly. Use me as thy instrument in thy service. Only do not thou forsake me, for if I am left to myself, I will certainly bring it all to destruction. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hey man, that's for all of us. And so God bless Heather if you're watching. And art's great, but so is cash. The church wanted to also give you some money. Here's a little financial gift. Let's say thank you to Cozy.
Art's great, but so is cash.
I'm going to have you extend a hand. We're going to say a prayer over Cozy. And I'm going to put Dr. DiGiulio on the spot. Just get in here.
Get in here. Come on.
Oh, Lord, we dance with you and the angels in heaven. We are grateful. We are hopeful. And our faith is increased, Lord, because of our sister. And we pray your blessing over her and her family, over her marriage and her relationship with their kids, those foundational relationships. Would you bless their home? Would it be a soft place for them to encounter you in the most tender ways? And we pray over her leadership. Would you give her courage? Would you affirm her daily that she is indeed the right leader at the right time for you, that she is a warrior in your name? And would she have that connection, that intimacy with you daily that borders on the mystical, that Holy Spirit connection? Father, we pray that that would be in and move through her out into a hurting world. God, we thank you for our sister. We thank you for the unique way that you created her and for how she has worked so diligently but blessed us just by who she is in our community. Thank you for how she helps us see ourselves more accurately as your beloved. And we pray this day that she would see herself in her fullness of as your beloved daughter. God, you are good to us. You are good and faithful and kind. And so we praise you today. To all the glory be to you, Jesus. In your powerful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. We're going to sing together, and then we're going to go out and celebrate with the milk and cookies that our high schoolers have made. And we're also going to donate all the cash in our wallets and write checks so we can send high school students to Hume Lake. They're out there. They made all the cookies, but it'd be awesome if everybody made a contribution to help students come to find and follow Jesus at camp. Let's sing together.
To the darkness you give hope. Can I have the house lights up? I love this God family. This would have meant nothing if it wasn't here with all of you. Even those of you who I don't know super well, we are a God family, and it's a really, it's been the most formative group of people in my whole life. I have been here for almost 20 years, and many of you have been my friends, you've been my mentors, you've watched me go from 23-year-old or college student cozy to almost 40-year-old mom, wife, pastor, who knows what else, but it just means so much for those of you who have just shown up week after week, year after year. You have rubbed off on me. I am who I am because of all of you. My calling is special and strong because I see you in my mind's eye when I think about the work I get to do here. So thank you so much for being a part of today. I know it was a little different, but it means the world to me to have you all here. So thank you so much. One of my favorite things about Ocean Hills one of my favorite things when I first started coming was this kind of routine that we would have at the end of the service. And to be able to do it with you today is so sweet. So as many of you know, we say, God is good.
All the time.
God is good. He's better than you think. Thank you so much.